Now, speaking of an issue that comes up in this programme a lot, particularly during the summer, when hedges grow big and tall and close in on both sides of the road, and there are calls for the council, calls for farmers, calls for landowners to maintain hedges properly. Now, over the last number of years, as there's more of a concentration in the importance of Irish hedgerows, there's been more of a concentration on how to cut hedges properly. And there's advice indeed from Chad Gisk on how to do this in a biodiversity friendly way. Well, Ireland South MEP Sean Kelly has been praising Chad Gisk, but he has been heavily critical of local authorities across the country on social media. And he put it up saying that hedges on the roadsides have absolutely been massacred. Sean Kelly, good morning to you.
Good morning from Brussels. Nice to be with you again.
Indeed. The M7 motorway, you were driving along and you noticed the hedges on the side of the road and you said something's gone badly wrong here. Two arms of the state operating at different levels.
Yeah, and I've noticed this over the last couple of years because I've been watching the advice from Tagusk, which is scientifically based and makes sense, that you should cut hedgerows in an A shape, wide at the bottom, down the top, and let them grow tall. And yet, when I travel around the country, I see very few hedges cut in that shape. And particularly, I think that local authorities have an obligation to give example. Now, it may not be practical all the time because I'm not an expert, but at the same time, I would like to hear what Tagusk and maybe Hedgerows Ireland and others would have to say about the way hedgerows are managed, particularly by local authorities. The M7 is a perfect example to my mind. There are hedgerows there in the middle of it for miles and miles and miles, and they're all cut in a box shape, small and narrow, and there's no growth underneath. So from a point of view of biodiversity, bees, insects, and particularly also carbon storage, it doesn't happen because they're the things we need, and that's the value of hedgerows, which are lovely and great. But if we don't have that, we are told that it's not practical or sensible to be cutting them in a box shape.
And can you understand why it's done by local authorities? Or is it just they haven't caught up with the advice from Tagusk? Tagusk are a state agency. They're telling farmers, this is how you protect the hedgerow. This is how you maintain it. It's how you cut it while leaving space for wildlife. But on the M7, which is the motorway between Limerick and Dublin, cuts across the entire country, you're seeing this example of hedges butchered down to 1 or 2 feet. Basically.
Yeah, and it makes no sense to me, just a complete contradiction. And I just can't see why people who are charged with the responsibility of doing this can't just look at what's best to do. And then if they can do it, come up with an explanation. But to me, anyway, travelling up and down there every week, I came up yesterday morning, I'll be going down again at the weekend, 2 or 3 times actually. But it's just... it seems to me to be an extraordinary contradiction. Now, the hedges look nice in terms that they're very fine and well-pruned and pristine, but from a point of view of biodiversity, as I say, and nature restoration, which we badly need to know, it seems to me a lost opportunity, and I would like to hear an explanation. And it's not the only place. I have travelled elsewhere as well, and I would see hedges cut in a little box shape, and I'd say, why can't that hedge be left grow wider at the bottom and narrower at the top and then increase the biodiversity? So I think it's something we need to focus on, and I'm just frustrated to see and to read constantly the advice from Tagusk, the advice from Hedgerows Ireland, and then to see in practice very little sign of that actually being put into practice.
Okay, and by the state itself, through the local authorities. And this, you're going through several different counties when you're talking about this. It's not just one local authority. It's
absolutely
along
yeah.
all sections of the roadway.
Correct, yeah. And I think what we should actually is ask each local authority to explain why a particular hedge is cut if it's not cut in the way that the scientific evidence would suggest is best for the environment generally.
Yeah, okay, and that's kind of what's needed in this instance. All right, it's an interesting one, Sean. Look, while I have you on the international scene, a lot of focus in Europe, a lot of focus over the last number of days on the Middle East. One of our listeners this morning is asking me, have I any praise for Donald Trump, the peacemaker? Have you any praise for him as to what has happened in the last number of days? Or do you share the concerns of many about the nature of what is going to happen next in Gaza?
We might definitely be concerned about what happened next. But in fairness, I criticise when I think criticism is due, and I give praise when praise is due. And I think in fairness to Donald Trump, I think without him, we wouldn't have reached the ceasefire we have or the exchange of hostages. We don't like a lot of what he does, but at least he is decisive. And I think he was able to put pressure on Israel to say, if you don't agree to this, I'm out of here. And I think that was a very important step. But now, of course, we have to follow through and ensure that we have a two-state solution and justice, particularly for the Palestinians, because what happened to them with almost 70,000 of them killed was just not acceptable. And while we now have peace, we must move along and to ensure that peace will last forever. So whoever can contribute to it, I think we have to give them support and give them praise.
Yeah, whatever has to be done now needs to be done now to seize this particular opportunity, because the worst thing would be, and we've seen, and I saw one of the analysts at the weekend saying the Middle East is a graveyard of peace deals. Are you hopeful that will not happen, that it won't fall back into violence? And we'll be here in a year's time with rockets being fired from Gaza into Israel and Israeli shelling of the enclave again.
But I think with that experience, as you've pointed out, of what happened in the past, they have now an opportunity to put into place rules and regulations and methods to copper fasten the peace. So this won't happen again. And if there is any element that tries to break it, that there would be serious consequences from the very beginning, and the response would be maybe collective rather than individual. Something of that nature has to be written into it, because this is going to be difficult. I mean, the enmity that's there for so many generations is not going to dissipate overnight, but it can be resolved. And I think this is a big, big step forward, but it has to be monitored very carefully, and everybody has to come on board and say, listen, let's put this behind us, give peace to the poor unfortunate people in Gaza in particular, but also Israel, that they won't be worried about being attacked by Hamas and Hezbollah, etc. So it's an opportunity. It's a start. They're at the negotiating table. They're sitting around. It's the only way to get peace. And I think if everybody plays their part genuinely and proper guarantees are given, then I think this can be a watershed moment for the Middle East.
Can I just relate it to our own situation? Now, there are different conflicts, but there are sectarian elements to it. There is deep-seated hatreds over decades of violence in the north of Ireland. One of the biggest stumbling blocks to that was to get the IRA to give up their weapons and give militants on both sides to give up their weapons. Yesterday, we had reports already that Hamas militants were on the streets retaking kind of control of Gaza, and some reports that rivals were being shot. So is that one of the biggest stumbling blocks to peace? And is that an example of sometimes the slow, mind-numbingly hard work that has to be done to try and deliver a durable peace deal?
Exactly. And that's why everybody has to be involved. Everybody has to take responsibility. And when there are elements that aren't willing to take part in it, I think they have to be pressurized to so do. And there are enough Arab countries in particular who have influence over these various elements who are trying to maybe not go along with it, to put influence on them and put pressure on them so that the peace remains. But as we saw in Northern Ireland, the peace, and they often say it, is fragile for a long, long time into the future. But at the same time, if enough regulations are in place, enough supports are in place, and of course enough help to get people back into normal life where they can have a reasonable quality of life and look forward to a future of education and jobs, then that's going to be key. But that's going to take a pile of work and a lot of monitoring. But I think at least we have the basis to do that now.
Okay, Sean, great stuff. Thanks very much for talking to us about both those two things this morning. That's Ireland MEP, Ireland South MEP, Sean Kelly, giving his view on that. What do you think of that? The biodiverse, nice, biodiverse positive way to cut hedgerows. Why aren't local authorities doing more of it? Or are they in your area? You might get in touch with us on the programme. We'll see what happens with the peace deal that Donald Trump has put together.